$400 million in military aid for Ukraine. That sits at the center of our impeachment saga. Republicans in the House say the aid was only held up temporarily. No harm, no foul, no impeachment. Democrats, though, are building a case to show that Donald Trump abused his power by using that aid as part of an extortion scheme. But what's all that money actually for? We sent the world's Daniel Offman to Ukraine to find out.
At the impeachment hearings in Congress, we've heard a lot about the importance of Ukraine.
Ukraine is a strategic partner of the United States, important for the security of our country.
Ukraine's success is very much in our national interest.
A secure, democratic, and free Ukraine serves not just the Ukrainian people, but the American people.
Three American diplomats there, William Taylor, George Kent, and Marie Ivanovich, testifying in the House. U.S. military support for Ukraine goes back to 2014, when Russia illegally annexed Crimea and then invaded the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine.
We cannot stand by when the sovereignty and territorial integrity of a nation is flagrantly violated. If that happens without consequence in Ukraine, it could happen to any nation gathered here today.
That's President Barack Obama speaking at the United Nations in 2015. All in all, the U.S. has given more than $1.5 billion in security assistance to Ukraine. Night vision goggles, advanced radar technology, first aid kits, vehicles, and most deadly of all, Javelin anti-tank missiles. The U.S. military also has boots on the ground training Ukrainian forces. George Kent talked about that in the impeachment inquiry.
Similar to von Steuben training colonials at Valley Forge, U.S. and NATO allied trainers developed the skills of Ukrainian units at Yavoriv near the Polish border and elsewhere.
I traveled to Yavoriv by train to see what the U.S.-Ukraine military partnership looks like. The base is in the western part of the country. In Army lingo, it's called JMTGU, or Joint Multinational Training Group Ukraine.
Hey, nice to meet you as well. Nice we have this.
At the checkpoint outside the base, I meet 21-year-old specialist Alexander Wilkinson Johnson. This isn't just his first deployment; it's his first time abroad.
So it's a bit of a culture shock. I did a lot of research beforehand, and so I'm really interested in culture and understanding different languages, different peoples, and you know what goes into that. So.
But there have been some cultural challenges.
In general, I miss a good old hamburger. I miss a burger. and you don't get much here. You get a lot of chicken. You get a lot of pork, but no beef.
Wilkinson Johnson is with the Wisconsin Army National Guard. So is Major Katie Berberich.
Actually, I'm Catherine Berberich, but I go by Katie Berberich. Katie Berberich is my brand.
The Guard troops from Wisconsin just arrived a couple weeks back. But Berberich says it didn't take long to settle in.
I mean, my husband's like, what does it look like? I'm like, honey, it looks just like Fort McCoy. You know, if you, there's a training facility.
Fort McCoy, Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's weird how it looks like Fort McCoy. And I said, the weather's like Fort McCoy, the trees, the grass, everything is the same. Just on the opposite side of the world.
On this morning in Yavoriv, the troops are taking part in a handover ceremony. The Wisconsin National Guard is here to replace troops from the 101st Airborne Division. These rotations have been going on for 5 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, the commander of Task Force Juvene and the Joint Multinational Training Group Ukraine, Colonel John Oakley.
Dobry den. Mene zvate Prokhodnik John Oakley.
The stated U.S. mission is to play a mentorship role here. Ukraine has aspirations of joining NATO, so U.S. forces are helping Ukraine's military modernize. This is a training mission, but there's also a war going on with Russia, though the front lines are 500 miles to the east. After the ceremony ends, I ask some of the American officers about their mission.
Why should Americans back home care about the effort and the cooperation between U.S. military and Ukrainian military?
Building partnerships is all about what America is about. Working together to make Ukraine better and help them defend their sovereignty.
That's Lieutenant Colonel Michael Hansen. Hansen is happy to talk about Ukrainian sovereignty, but when I ask him about the war in the East and about Russia, he steers clear.
Well, there are many threats from both state and non-state actors throughout the entire world. And again, it's not just Ukraine. It's everyone has that same threat.
I put the same question to Colonel John Oakley, who's with the Wisconsin National Guard.
Is there discussion specifically about what's going on in the war in the East?
No, there is not.
In other words, don't ask. And the same goes for U.S. military aid that was temporarily withheld from Ukraine by the Trump administration.
Has any of the discussion about withholding U.S. aid been frustrating for the effort that's going on here?
Well, that's beyond my capability to answer. That's not part of why we're here. We're here to build readiness for the Ukraine military, and that's what we stay focused on.
For the troops I speak with, politics, holding the aid, impeachment, all of that is just a distraction. For Ukrainians, though, it's a different story. The war in the East is very real, and it's connected to the political scandal in America. Ukrainian soldiers are fighting and dying. More than 13,000 Ukrainians have been killed since 2014.
Support of the United States, it's very important because of the international positioning of Ukrainian capabilities to fight with Russia.
That's Mikhail Osamus. He's a military analyst at a think tank in Kyiv. He's a veteran himself, and when I ask him about the U.S. withholding security aid, he says it's a big deal.
When you are planning something, and especially during the war, and if we have some problems with help, it means that your plan won't work at all. But of course, it will be more psychologically and politically a problem when we understand that the strongest friend started to disrupt the assistance and support.
Sama says the U.S. is still Ukraine's strongest friend, but at the moment, things could change, and the country could find itself alone.
If Ukraine will be alone, for Russia it will be easier to show that it's not a problem at all when we'll occupy Kyiv, for example. When the United States help us, it means that United States issue some responsibility for supporting Ukrainian dreams about independence.
That is full independence from Russian meddling and military aggression. Sama says U.S. support is critical, but the political crisis that's playing out in America right now makes him more realistic.
We cannot say in Ukraine that United States has some commitments to help us, if you're talking honestly. I think the Ukrainian nation has to fight for Ukrainian nation.
Back at the Yavidiv military base, everyone tells me the U.S.-Ukraine partnership is as strong as ever.
I would like the Ukrainians to know that they've got my full support.
That's Specialist Alexander Wilkinson Johnson again, the guy who misses hamburgers.
What's important is that I'm here, and I'm here to do good.
I ask him why he enlisted in the first place.
My brother is currently in the Air Force, and when I went down to see him graduate, I saw a formation calling Cadence, and I love Cadence. I don't know why. It'll always get stuck in my head, and I thought to myself, I want to be a part of that.
And if you don't know what Cadence is,
It's the drill sergeant one. Okay, so I'll lead it right now.
Okay, and we'll follow.
Okay, so everywhere I go,
there's
a drill sergeant there.
There's a drill sergeant there.
Alongside Wilkinson Johnson, that's Major Burbridge, and Staff Sergeant Samuel Somm. This is not his first overseas mission.
First time I deployed was 2007. I was in a unit, the 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team. It was a brigade that had the first living Medal of Honor recipient for combat operations, and then they had two more. So that should tell you that they were in some of the worst fighting that Afghanistan had to offer. Along with fighting comes not necessarily that great of memories.
But here in Ukraine, at least for Staff Sergeant Somm, the story is different. He feels that this mission will offer only positive memories, in part because, at least for the U.S., this isn't about combat.
I also feel very keenly a heart for Ukrainians because their country, quite frankly, was attacked. They were attacked, and that's a big deal to me. I understand that, and I feel that in my own heart. And so I would say to the Ukrainians, the Americans are here for a reason. We're here to help train. We're here to help you. So take advantage of that.
For the American troops I talk with here, the Ukraine scandal and the impeachment story back home can feel irrelevant and very far away. But Major Burbridge tells me they depend heavily on help from back home.
It's my youngest son's first year in high school. When my community members said to me, if you need help getting Peyton to basketball practice or to school pictures, you know, let me know. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's very moving and humbling when people do that for you, because you just don't think that you are worthy of that. And I don't take for granted ever the support from family and friends. And I can't, we cannot do what we do unless we have the support of our families.
As for American support for Ukraine, this is a pivotal moment. Just this morning, President Trump said, quote, "Why should we give money to a country that's known corrupt? It's a very corrupt country." That's not what Ukrainians want to hear. Next month, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky will have his first face-to-face meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about ending the war. For The World, Daniel Offman, Yavidiv, Ukraine.
Next week, we'll hear more from Daniel when he reports on veterans of the war in eastern Ukraine.